Well, let's go ahead and dismiss our junior church class and have them head downstairs now. While the rest of us turn over to the book of Matthew, in Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. This morning, I want to talk to you specifically about your life. I kind of had a bit of a different message this kind of prepared through this week, but the Lord began to work on me with this passage of Scripture, and the more I thought about it, the more I kind of contemplated it, the more I meditated on it, the more it was clear the Lord said, no, this is the message for today. So when we think about what this passage is about, you know, obviously we're going to keep in mind that, you know, he's calling the nation of Israel to repentance. This is part of the Sermon on the Mount. This is part of what he taught his disciples specifically. We find a parallel passage over in the book of Luke, I believe it's chapter 12, with some of these things. But I want us to read this passage this morning, starting in verse 25 in Matthew chapter 6. And it says, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, for what ye shall eat, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body, what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are they not much better? Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. Yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you again for our time and opportunity this morning to be into your word. And Lord, I just pray for every person that is here this morning that our hearts would be humbly submitted to you, that we would desire to receive something from you, that we would be, whether it be encouragement or reproof, whether it be a correction or comfort, Lord, I just pray that we would have a very clear understanding this morning of what our life ought to be. I thank you again, Lord, for your direction and your guidance, that, Lord, you care for us so much that you would tell us these things, that you would put them in a book that we can have, that you preserved throughout all these generations to give to us, that we would receive this instruction. And Lord, I pray you just be with me this morning. You'd be with my mind and my body, Lord. That, Lord, you'd give me strength and give me clarity. That, Lord, these things that are spoken would not be of me, but Lord, would be for you. Your glory, your honor, your praise. And Lord, I just pray that everything that we do here would be pleasing in your sight. Our thoughts, as we think on these things from your word. And this I ask and pray in your Son's precious name, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning, I want to talk about our life, the life of a believer. And you know what? There is so much more to life. And if you will, that's kind of the title of the message there is more to life. You know, we look at life and we have all these physical things. This morning, you got up and you decided what you were going to wear. You decided how you're going to comb your hair. You decided whether or not you were going to brush your teeth. You decided whether or not you were going to do all of these different things, whether you were going to have coffee or tea, donut, or go the granola route or whatever it may be. You had decisions that you made. And God is talking about a lot of things about decisions. And we know that sometimes there's a lot of contention with decisions. You know, here he's talking about, don't worry about what you're going to eat. That always seems to be like, you know, the cause of, if you will, strife and contention. What's for dinner? As you try to figure that whole thing out. But I'll tell you this, you know, we concern ourselves with those things so much sometimes that we lose sight of what our life is really about. And there's more to life than the physical things. There's just so much more to it. You know, I understand we get blessings through all of them, and we get blessings with with what the Lord gives us, and we should be very thankful for all of those things. We should be thankful we have houses and we have vehicles. We should be thankful that we have clothes to put on. And in this day and age, there are people in the world that do not even have remotely close to any of the things that we have. I mean, you know, here we are, even sometimes in our own poverty, we're richer than most of the world. And while we've heard this before, and we understand that concept, that here we are in the United States of America, that we're supposed to, as believers, have that thought process that says, hey, I need to be focusing on the things of God. I need to be focusing on the things of the Lord than the physical things. We still get caught up in it. We still need the reminder that tells us very specifically about don't take thought of those things. Now, does that mean that we don't have any thought at all? No. What he's getting at is there is a specific order that God has for our life. Over in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 14, specifically it says over there in verse 40, as he closes that chapter, he says, let all things be done decently and what? In order. In order. You know, God is a God of order. I mean, you think about how he orders things. He puts things in a specific place for specific reasons. He ordered the design of your body. He ordered how the atoms are all going to work with one another. How all the subatomic particles and how they react with each other. He's ordered the things of the earth and how it spins and rotates. And how the things in the sky and the stars and all of those beautiful things that we get to see. He's ordered the seasons, which, by the way, he said will never cease until the earth is done. Now, that's a promise that we have to take. Those seasons will always be. We're never going to not have a winter or a spring. Now, we might have some periods of some drought or something of that nature, or a mild winter or a harsh winter, whatever it may be. But those things will never cease from this earth, he says. So there's a lot of physical things that we can look at and we can, you know, see in this life and understand that God has order. And he talks about it over there in Romans where he says, look, the invisible things of creation are, the invisible things can be seen in creation. And he says, even the Godhead, all of those things can be seen in what is ordered here. God is a God of order. And there's an order in this life. There's order in the life of a believer. This morning we read over there about warning them, and we just kind of, if you will, casually read over it because that wasn't the focus. But over there, where he's talking to the church at Thessalonica, and he says, look, you know, there's the comfort, the feeble-minded, be patient toward all men that we saw. But he also makes mention of it. He says, about warn them that are unruly. Why? It's because a person that will not be ruled by God is a person that does not understand the order that God has put in their life. You know, there are certain things that you have to do before you can do the next thing. You had to learn how to walk before you could come here today. You had to learn how to feed yourself. You had to learn how to talk. You had to learn how to engage in cognitive conversation. You had to learn certain things, didn't you? Before you could be here right now. There's an order of life. You start off needing a lot of assistance. You grow to, if you will, be somewhat self-sufficient. But it's still, again, I have to emphasize, dependent on the Lord. He never created us to be independent. He created us to be dependent on Him. But then as we grow older, what happens? We need more assistance, don't we? We go back to what we originally came from. But when we begin to realize God has these orders in life, it makes this passage of Scripture much more applicable, because God's saying, look, there's certain things you've got to put first. And He says very specifically, and He asks, He says, is not life more than meat? There's more to it than just eating. There's more to it than just, you know, the day-to-day activities, if you will. And that's what we find here. Isn't what He's listing just day-to-day activity? What do? You get up, you eat. You eat a couple more times in the day, and then you go to sleep. You get up, you put on clothes. You may change clothes throughout the day, and then change them for the next day. But it doesn't get that mundane day-to-day thing. And God is saying there's so much more to life than that. We get caught in that mundane mentality. We get caught in the slogging through life. But there's so much more to it, as He says. It's more than that. It's more than that. And here He says, I mean, specifically, He says, look, you know, people are sometimes so concerned about what's going to happen tomorrow that He even has to say there in verse 34, He says, look, you know, take no thought for the morrow, for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself. What does He say about today? Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. We got enough troubles right now to worry about tomorrow's troubles. We got things that we got to worry about today than, you know, starting to focus on what we're going to worry for tomorrow. The future worry. And that worrying and that fretting, kind of like what we were talking about this morning with patience, that worrying and that fretting gets us nowhere. As I've said, and there's an analogy, that worry is like a rocking chair. There's a lot of movement, but there's no forward movement. There's a lot going on, rocking back and forth, but you're not going anywhere. When we look at this and we begin to realize that God wants us to have this, again, transformed mind about how we think on things, here He is telling the nation of Israel, He's saying, look, you got to focus on the right thing. And as you go through and you read the book of Matthew is primarily about the kingdom of heaven. And the kingdom of heaven is that physical promise that He has given to the nation of Israel. That millennial reign. They're the top nation in the world. Today, I dare say they are the top nation to be ridiculed in this world. There's so much that is against them. I mean, you know, we look at the situation that's going on over there right now, and it's tragic and it's horrible. But you realize that there's more focus on that than some of the other conflicts that are raging in this world today? I mean, when's the last time you heard about how horrible things are going on in the Sudan? It's not a pleasant place to live. Remember when Somalia was all, you know, in the news? And it's not much anymore. You realize that that still is continuing on today. It's just we've forgotten about it. We've moved on. But when we think about it, we think, hey, the Lord's given this promise. And he goes through and he says, the kingdom of heaven is like this and the kingdom of heaven is like that. But here he is, all of a sudden, he says something different. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. And the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of God are two different things. And the kingdom of God is the spiritual things. And he's telling the nation of Israel, he's saying, look, before you start focusing on your physical kingdom, you need to get your spiritual life together. Before you start focusing on all these physical things, you need to make sure your spiritual life is in order. Because the spiritual comes before the physical.
Right.
Now look, in this day and age, a lot of people got that backwards.
Yeah.
A lot of people care more about the spiritual things than they do, or excuse me, the physical things than they do the spiritual things. And I dare say in today's day and age and in today's churches, there is a lot of physical focus and not a lot of spiritual focus. But God says there needs to be that, if you will, direct spiritual thought. About it, he says here, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Isn't that what Paul said over there about the condemnation? Was that they went about to establish their own righteousness? And what did they do? They kind of shoved aside God's righteousness. It was all about them, and it was all about their physical bringing in the kingdom. They were going to do it without Jesus Christ. They were going to focus on how they were going to go about doing it without the Lord. And that is not what God says we as believers should be doing. It's not what the nation of Israel was supposed to do. To keep your place there and go over to the book of Proverbs in Proverbs chapter 22. In Proverbs chapter 22. In Proverbs chapter 22, here he says in verse 4, by humility and the fear of the Lord are riches and honor and life. You know, people will try to get riches all different ways, right? But they're talking about physical riches. And as he says here, when he talks about this, he says riches and honor and life, those things, we're talking about in a spiritual sense. Now, here's the thing, is people will go through the book of Proverbs and they'll say, well, there's a lot of great common sense in there. And there is. There's a surface level common sense. But as Solomon said, there are dark sayings in here. What does that mean? That means there's stuff that you got to go in and you got to look and you got to search. Because every single thing in here that we think might be some physical application, there is a spiritual primary parallelism. And when we look at this here, he says, look, you want riches? Lay up your treasures in heaven. You want honor the way that the Lord provides it. You want a life that is the abundant life that he said that we could have over in the book of John. Not talking about physical things. What do we have to have? Well, we have to start off with humility and fear of the Lord. You cannot seek the kingdom of God if you are not humble. You cannot seek the kingdom of God if you do not fear God. And we need to understand these concepts. He says, this is our focus in life. This is what the life is really truly about. Solomon realized that and wrote these words. And here's Israel. What are they doing? They're fretting themselves and worrying themselves and trying to get all of these things according to how they think it needs to be done. And they are completely discounting God. They're more concerned on the physical. Turn over to the book of John, the Gospel of John. John chapter 18. John chapter 18. Sorry, my pages are sticking together here. I'm having a hard time getting them apart. John chapter 18. And in verse 36, here's Pilate asking him a question in verse 35. And starts trying to, you know, get to the bottom of his, you know, this investigation. And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight, that I should not be delivered to the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. What is he talking about here? The kingdom that was of the primary importance wasn't about the kingdom of heaven. Wasn't about the physical kingdom here on this earth. And so many times people are going around this life trying to build a kingdom, aren't they? They're even trying to build their own kingdoms. I mean, we even have the if you will, what's referred to as the castle doctrine. That a person's home is their castle. And you can defend it. And so on and so forth. Well, I'll tell you this. When we start thinking about the physical kingdom of our life and how we're going to provide for it and how we're going to do all of the things for it to promote our own kingdom and to grow our own kingdom, and that's generally what a lot of people are trying to do, guess what? We leave God completely out of the picture. But God says that's not the way it's supposed to be. That's not the way our life is supposed to be. Our life is more than those physical things. It's about that relationship with God. And he says, seek ye first. First. There's a right order. You realize that before the nation of Israel is going to get their kingdom, they got to get their heart right. I tell you this. You want blessings from God in this life. And again, I'm not talking prosperity stuff, okay? You want to be able to receive instruction from the Lord. You want to be able to hear the Holy Spirit of God. You want to be able to learn what the Bible has to say about things. You want to be able to go through life and again, have that if you will, heart attitude that is representing Jesus Christ, then you have got to understand it is more than just a physical thing. You've got to understand that it is about our heart and our relationship with the Lord. It has to be put at the primary. It has to be put before anything else. Because the nation of Israel, what did they see? They saw it all as, if you will, physical. They had a hard time seeing the spiritual things. I mean, there's Nicodemus, a Pharisee, a leader, a ruler, a teacher. And Jesus says, what, you don't know this? They were not seeing the spiritual issues of their lives. They were not seeing what was necessary. And I tell you this, sometimes we as believers do that. You know, I've grown up in churches my whole life. And I'll tell you this, you see some things. You see some things. I've seen families and individuals put physical things before the things of God. I've seen them make decisions that are more focused on physical than spiritual. And sometimes we've really got to truly change the way that we think about stuff. I've taught junior church classes in the past, and I've taught Sunday school classes with children, and I will tell you this, you can tell which ones had parents that allowed the child to stay up late, way past their bedtime. Because what happens in the junior church class? And they're gone. Right? But oh, good night. They can't do that on Tuesday. They can't do that on a Thursday. Why? Because tomorrow's school. You got to get to bed. But they can stay up late on Saturday because, well, you know, tomorrow's Sunday. Well, what's happening? They're putting some physical things before the Lord. I've seen it happen with parents, and sometimes they focus more on the physical things, where all of a sudden what becomes more important is the sports for the children, or the after school activities, or band, or whatever it is, right? And those things become the primary focus. So much so that those things have to get done, and they look past the need for spiritual things. How about situations where all of a sudden the homework is more important, and they will sit there and they will check to make sure all the homework is done, but they will not take time to ask or look at and say, "Did you read your Bible? What did you get from reading your Bible?" You're like, "Well, you're kind of picking on parents." It kind of starts there.
Yeah, right.
Because it begins to build behaviors later on where seeking the kingdom of God is not important anymore.
Right.
And it becomes secondary. I'll tell you this, men do it with careers. Mm-hmm. They'll do it with their jobs. That'll be put first before anything else. I've seen spouses do it where they'll put the spouse before anything else. Spending time with the spouse is more important than spending time in the Word of God. The things that we look at in this life, and you're like, "Well, this is kind of getting heavy here," and I understand that, but this is what Christ is telling the nation of Israel. He's saying, "Look, seek ye first." There's an order that God has to our lives. And it's Him at the first. Why? Because He's given us so much. He's the reason you're here. If He wasn't here, neither would you be. If God didn't order things, you would not exist. So when God puts an order in our lives as believers, as His people, as, you know, His church, what are we supposed to be doing? putting God first. Putting His spiritual connection first. Putting that relationship first. So many times everything else comes before it. Spiritual growth sometimes becomes the low priority. Now look, I want us to think about this for a moment. When's the last time you sat down and you looked at your Christian life and you said, am I growing? You know, we can take a look at a tree and we can measure its growth. We can take a look at a child and measure the growth. I mean, you remember the wall or the corner of the wall or the edge of the wall that had all the little line marks, right? What was that? So we could see, so that we could keep track, and we could like, oh, see everybody growing and see how people are growing and so on and so forth. And you know, we'd measure them, and like every month it'd be like, oh, okay, hey, look, you know, they grew another inch, or hey, they stayed the same, you know? Whatever it may be, but we measured growth, didn't we? As we get older, we measure growth by the size of the belt. The pant size. And we're like, here, I need to cut back on the growth. Need to trim some of that down. But you know, we look at those things and we realize that there's things that are growing. But when's the last time that we took a spiritual priority and said, I'm going to think about what I'm doing in my life, in my Christian life, and whether or not I'm growing? What am I putting there? There was a study that was done recently. It's a Barna survey, and if you're familiar with those, there are a lot of statistical type surveys, and they go through, and they've got a very specific process about how they ask questions. It's kind of like the Pew Research Group, and there's others that are out there like Gallup polls and so on and so forth. And they've made it, if you will, a business out of asking people questions. And they've got to ask the right question, so that they can frame certain, if you will, statistics and what it looks like. And they asked a bunch of people to rate themselves on this 5-point scale of these 7 spiritual development principles that they came up with. And they were asking specifically these questions, and this one that they asked was do you feel as if you are learning enough about God? And here's what people said. Most of the people said this: we do not feel like we're learning enough about God. That we're not growing in faith. That we don't understand our purpose in life. Most of the people said that. But here's the sad thing. Most of them said they don't care. Most of them said they don't care. And why is that? Because they had family to worry about, and they had jobs to worry about, and they had school to worry about, and they had this to worry about, and then they had that to worry about, and they had worry about what they were going to eat and what they were going to wear. Oh. And they didn't seek the kingdom of God first. But they knew there was a problem. They knew that there was an issue. See, when we go back to Matthew chapter 6, and I want us to look again at that verse. And verse 33 is a verse that is one that I have heard repeatedly. And if you've been in church for a period of time, you're probably going to hear it more and more. And I want you to see how God says these things. Look, God understands you need physical things. God understands you need food. God understands you need clothes. God understands all of those things that you need in this life. He understands it. I mean, if he understands that a flower needs to look pretty, I think he understands that you need to look somewhat decent. If he understands that the birds that are out there need to get food so that they can feed their little babies, then he understands you need food and you need to get food to feed your little babies. He understands that. God understands your physical needs. But look at what he says in verse 33. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not what you think is right. Not what you think is the right timing. Not what you think is done the right way. But his righteousness. And all these things shall be added unto you. God says, look, there's a priority in this life. And the priority is spiritual. The priority is spiritual. You know, here we are at the first day of the week. It's Sunday. You realize we're almost done with July? August is right around the corner. Abby, my daughter, she keeps reminding us of how close we are getting to Christmas. And it's like, right? You know, time is escaping us. You realize that November will be here? And there will be a Tuesday that's kind of important in November? You know what? So many people are worried about that. And so many people are worried about the end of this year. And so many people are worried about what's going to happen in next year and so on and so forth. But I'll tell you this. How about we just focus on what God gives us today? And I want to challenge you. Here we are this week. Every day of the week, I want you to do something. I want you to read a passage of the Bible. And whether you're reading Psalms or whether you're reading Proverbs, whether you're reading the Gospel of John, or whether you're reading the book of Ephesians. And if you're not reading your Bible, pick one of those books that I just mentioned, okay? John, Ephesians, Proverbs, Psalms. There's good material in there. There's great material. Skip Ezekiel for now. Okay? That stuff will make sense eventually. But get a hold of one of those books and read it. Read a chapter. You don't have to read the whole book. If you want to read the whole book, read the whole book. I don't care. But what I want you to do is I want you to sit down and look at it and say, what is in that passage of Scripture that is my necessary food spiritually to grow? What is it in those passages that is going to cause me to grow in Christ? To grow in the knowledge of Him? To grow in the knowledge of His will? To grow in the knowledge of what He wants specifically as far as His ways? What is it in the Word of God that is showing me? And if you choose, if you're in a different book, wherever it may be in your Bible reading, wherever it may be in your Bible study, and reading and studying are two different things, wherever it may be, I want you to ask yourself that question and think about it. And here's what I want you to do. I want you to tell someone else about it. I want you to tell somebody, hey, you know what I got from the Word of God today? Hey, and it doesn't have to be the same person every single day. But what I want us to begin to do, and I want us to begin to look at this, is I want us to begin to think about what it means to really truly put God first in our Christian life. Do we get up in the morning and do we praise God that we've got another day of breath? Do we praise God that we were able to even get out of the bed? For some of us, that's a challenge nowadays. Or is it we can't think straight because we haven't had our coffee yet? Before you get your coffee, how about you grab this? You're like, well, I can't think straight unless I have my coffee. Then you're addicted to it. Get addicted to this. Get addicted to this. Get addicted to God, who He is, so that it's your first thought. When a trouble comes up, He's your first thought. When there's a blessing that happens, He's your first thought. When you wake up, He's your first thought. And when you go to bed, He's your last thought. When you can't sleep, He should be your first thought. And again, don't use the Bible or prayer as a sleep aid, okay? Don't. That will become a bad behavior. And you won't be able to pay attention. You'll fall asleep in church. You'll fall asleep during your prayer life. And you know what? That didn't end well for Eutychus. Just saying. He fell out of a window. Okay? But I want you to know that this becomes the primary thing in our Christian life. That who God is. And the only way we're going to seek that kingdom of God and seek the spiritual things and seek the spiritual growth is found in these pages. That relationship with Him. I'm going to challenge you this week. Do that. Now again, I'm not asking you to do it for me. I'm asking you to do it for the Lord. I'm exhorting, I'm beseeching you, whatever word you want it to be, to do these things. You're like, well, this is, I understand what you're, okay. Again, don't focus on the task of doing it. Focus on the God who gave you this book and why you want to do it. Don't do it for me. Don't do it for anyone else. Do it because you want to seek God first in your life. Let's stand for a word of prayer. With our heads bowed, if you're here today and you have not trusted Christ as your Savior, that's where you need to start seeking first. Because you're never going to understand the things of the Bible, and you're never going to hear the Holy Spirit in your life unless you specifically have trusted Christ as your Savior. If you do not have salvation through Him, you do not have forgiveness of sins, you don't have that reconciled life to Him, your first step needs to be seeking Him for salvation. Nation of Israel missed that too. But here we are, several thousand years later, with a complete Word of God in our hands, a clear plan of salvation before us. If you're here and you haven't trusted Christ I want you to do that today. Not for me again, but because of who Jesus Christ is, and what he did on the cross, and what he did specifically with his resurrection, to give you a life that is more abundant than any life you will live here for yourself. If you're here today and you haven't trusted Christ as your Savior, I just encourage you to come forward. I have somebody just take you aside just for a brief moment and show you from the Word of God what it means to trust Christ as your Savior. What it means to have salvation from sins. What it means to be saved from eternal torment and punishment. What it means to have that eternal life with the Creator that made you. Christian, if you're here today and you realize maybe I haven't put him first, do it today. Do it today. We get so caught up in this life, in the busyness and the hecticness. Trust me, I get it. I totally understand that. Getting 5 million emails and 6 million text messages and 17 million phone calls. I get it. But let's not get so caught up that we lose sight of what we're doing. Who gave us this life in the first place? Let's not lose sight of God. Let's make sure we're seeking His kingdom first and His righteousness. Dear Heavenly Father, again, I thank you for the time. Thank you again for an opportunity, Lord, to just meet here, to worship you, to hear some things, Lord, that may have been a little heavy. But Lord, it's very clear from your word what your order and what your priority is. Lord, may we seek to do that this afternoon, this morning, this week, this life, that we would seek you first in all things. Thank you again, Lord, for this time that we have had. I pray, Lord, you just continue to meet with us as we close with these hymns. And this I ask and pray in your Son's name, Jesus Christ. Amen.